Before I start, I would like to briefly express that I'm very happy to be here, very happy and very honored to be back in Radhadej after what for me is a long time. It's been 14, 15 months since I've not been here. Which means that for the whole 2009, I wasn't here, and I think it's been the first year for many years that I've not been coming here. Since the first time I came here, that some of you were already here when I first was here, I think. We shared a room, I think, in one convention, you and I, many years ago. We were younger. And so, and for many years I was coming here once, twice, three times, four times a year even. And at some point, because since many years for family reasons we're not living close to a temple, Radhadej and Radha Gopinath were my temple and my deity. So, and the devotees here have always been very kind to me and very inspiring, and I've got many friends here. So as I say, I'm very happy and very honored to be back here due to the service I've been asked to do far away. I cannot come as often as I always like. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki, Jai Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Jai. So, but anyway, Radhadej is a very important part of my life, and you are a very important part of my life, and I wanted to, before I start, to thank you for allowing me to be here again. And I hope it doesn't take that long for me to come back. So now we'll hear what Krishna in his literary form has to tell us in Srila Prabhupada. So we'll read text 44 from the 25th chapter of the 4th canto. The chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Upagiya mano lalitam tatra tatra chagayakai Kridan parivritastribi Radhinim avishachchau. Translation: many professional singers used to sing about the glories of King Puranjana and his glorious activities. When it was too hot in the summer, he used to enter a reservoir of water. He would surround himself with many women and enjoy their company. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A living being has different activities in different stages of life. One stage is called Jagrata, or the life of awakening, and another is called Swapna, or the life of dream. Another stage is called Sushupti, or life in an unconscious state, and still another stage occurs after death. In the previous verse, the life of awakening was described, that is, the man and the woman were married and enjoyed life for 100 years. In this verse, life in the dream state is described. For the activities of Puranjana accomplished during the day were also reflected at night in the dream state. Puranjana used to live with his wife for sense enjoyment, and at night this very sense enjoyment was appreciated in different ways. A man sleeps very soundly when he is greatly fatigued, and when a rich man is greatly fatigued, he goes to his garden house with many female friends and there enters the water and enjoys their company. Such is the tendency of the living entity within this material world. A living entity is never satisfied with a woman unless he is trained in the system of brahmacharya. Generally, a man's tendency is to enjoy many women, and even at the very end of life, the sex impulse is so strong that even though one is very old, he still wants to enjoy the company of young girls. Thus, because of the strong sex impulse, the living entity becomes more and more involved in the material world. Upagiya mano lalitam tatra tatra jagayakai kridan parivritas trivir radinim avishachuchau. Many professional singers used to sing about the glories of King Puranjana and his glorious activities. When it was too hot in the summer, he used to enter a reservoir of water. He would surround himself with many women and enjoy their company. So Prabhupada explains here how at night, even though one may live a regulated life somehow, at night the mind tries to enjoy its deepest desires and recreates all those fantasies and things that the person would like to enjoy in this material world, and create such situations. And here Prabhupada explains that the only way that we can curb that desire or tame that desire is the desire of looking for more and more enjoyment with woman or man, is to be trained in the system of brahmacharya. Prabhupada says that the living entity is never satisfied with a woman unless he's trained in the system of brahmacharya. So here Prabhupada is explaining something very interesting, how brahmacharya is a training for proper grihastha life. Many years ago, and still in some places, but less and less, the general when we draw a graphic of the spiritual life of a devotee, generally the graphic was brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. No? From brahmachari, you came down to grihastha, and then if you were fortunate, you could pick up again and go up. Which, anyway, this created a whole culture and conditioned our development in many ways. Fortunately, these things have changed or are changing. But here we see that actually brahmacharya is a training for most people to be satisfied with only one woman, being married with only one woman, and in this way try to tame the wild mind that would like us to enjoy more and more and more without restriction. Yeah. So, of course, when and as I say, then brahmacharya, except for those people, for those persons, and we have examples from those persons who, except for those persons who will remain brahmachari until they enter another ashram of renunciation. For most people, after brahmacharya comes regulated, sane, and proper grihastha life. Of course, in brahmachari training, you may not mention that because you don't speak about family life to brahmacharis, but in fact the training of brahmacharis to be a proper grihastha, it's kind of what we call in education unspoken curriculum. And we're in January, so you probably have taken, the students have already taken TTC 1 and TTC 2, maybe, teacher training course 1 and 2, and you know that there are objectives and goals and all these things that you have to have very clear so that you design your lessons or your courses. So actually in Varnashram also there is this so-called and generally in education there's also what we call the unspoken curriculum, something that you don't mention during the course at all, but it's also part of the intention you have as an educator to and generally it has more to do with values and the person than with skills and knowledge. So unspoken curriculum in brahmachari training is that they will be proper grihastha, so that the graphic is not this one anymore, but it's, you know, from brahmachari to grihastha to vanaprastha to sannyas, which for most of the people will be like that. But as I say, we don't talk about this with brahmachari because we have to help them to concentrate in their training. So there is a whole plan, no? in Varnashram, in brahmacharya going later generally to sannyas, to grihastha, and then from grihastha following to vanaprastha and sannyas, or again from brahmacharya directly to vanaprastha and sannyas. And the purpose of all the training, on one hand, is to help the person to become more and more detached. Although it may be surprising, because entering from brahmacharya to grihastha, it might look that one may have more opportunities for being attached, but if the person has been properly trained as brahmacharya, that will not happen. That the chances will be much less. Okay, so, but there's another, so to say, unspoken curriculum also in all this Varnashram system, which is, it's not that unspoken, but it's the increase of responsibility. And that links to also to the fact that we're actually not brahmacharis, not grihasthas, not vanaprasthas, not sannyasis, as Lord Chaitanya said, and that actually we are is what? Servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna, who is the Lord of the Gopis. So all this program, you know, of learning how to control the senses, then taking more responsibility in the sense of becoming responsible for some people in the family or and the society in which you live as a grihastha. And the next step, which is in vanaprastha life, to share with others your experience and dedicate yourself more to the preaching once you're finished with your family duties, and to sannyas, which is the highest level of renunciation, but also the highest level of responsibility for everybody. So I mentioned this words of Lord Chaitanya about we not being brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, because although we can see that the Varnashram is a progress in detachment in one hand, and in also in taking responsibility for others, on the other hand. At the same time, in our line, in the line in which we belong, Lord Chaitanya said that, okay, that's good, that's the platform, that's a necessary platform for us to grow, Varnashram. But at the same time, we have to understand that we should be beyond that. Which means that actually we should start our taking responsibility for others since the beginning of our spiritual life, even as brahmacharis. Okay, I'll explain this a little bit more. I think I have time. So I'm just going to elaborate a little bit on this development of responsibility. Generally, a brahmachari's responsibility is what? It's just very simple life. Service to guru. And what else? Studying. Yes, what else? Washing the lota, and more or less, this is it. Yes. Yes, but that has to do with the other side. Excuse me? Yeah, they beg for the ashram and for the guru. Okay, they have some responsibility, but their responsibility is, yes, to study, to get trained, to do some. We will talk about the preaching side of it, and you know, in one sense, we could say that the range of responsibility is smaller than the person when enters the ashram of Grihastha. In the ashram of Grihastha, the responsibility obviously grows. At least the couple are responsible for each other. If we talk from the point of the man takes responsibility for certain aspects of the family, the wife also, and then kids come, and also they have to take care of the elders. And then they also take care of the society. The grihasthas take care of the society. They are the maintainers of the society, because all the other ashrams depend on them. So it's an increase of responsibility, social responsibility. And then, as I was saying, in the step from grihastha to vanaprastha is not the renunciation of responsibility, is an increase of responsibility actually. It's not, okay, family responsibilities have been fulfilled, have been accomplished in the how Prabhupada explains it and how the Parinashram system explains it. The sons and daughters are already married and all this, so you have more free time to go deeper in spiritual life. But the purpose is not only you yourself also, but also to share with others what you have learned, and you start the process of becoming an elder, you know, to the image of the elder as someone who takes care of many people. And then after vanaprastha, sannyas actually takes personal responsibility for the spiritual life of everybody. That's the attitude of the sannyasi. So the responsibility has increased to the maximum. So as we can see, this is a process of coming from a stage of or getting out of the Duratma stage to the Mahatma stage, no? To making your heart as big as possible, no? To put everybody as your someone that you have responsibility for. Okay. But as I was saying, in our line we have a different approach. At the same time, we value Varnashram. Probably someone here would say that we should value it more, and probably it's true. And some people are working on that, but when we read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, no, when he was asking Ramananda Roy, and yes, Varnashram is very important, but there is more to it. No? And the final was that we are, you know, the servants of 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 Krishna. And okay, so what does it mean to be a servant? And what does it mean to be a servant in the line we have had the fortune to fall in? No? When you have a fortune, it's not something that you deserve, so you, for some reason, we're here. So what is that service? What is the service that we are supposed to render in this Brahma Mat Bhagavadiya Sampradaya, as Kadambakana Maharaj always likes to remind us, you know? We belong to the Brahma Mat Bhagavadiya Sampradaya, and we belong to Prabhupada's movement. So what is this service that we're supposed to render to the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna? And so one of a very important element in that service is this transcending this aspect of brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, and starting taking responsibility for others immediately. We were talking about this yesterday with one of you. And what does it mean? If there is a very, for me, very inspiring lecture that Prabhupada gave right in the beginning, in the very beginning in New York, in the storefront in 26th Avenue, in 26th Second Avenue. Jai Shishu Radha Gopinath, Jai. In which it was really in the beginning, 66, 67, many years ago. And those of us who were young at that time, we know the kind of people that must have been there. The same people that Prabhupada was encountering whenever he had a program. Those people that he also in San Francisco in the Ratha Yatra, when he addressed that public, you know, and that public, who was that public? That public were, you know, what were the names? The Black Panthers and what were the other ones? The white ones? I don't remember. And lots of hippies and people who were breaking everything to be free. To be free to complete sinful life, no? To no ties anymore. So we have to be completely free from that. So that was the kind of audience that Prabhupada was speaking to. And in that Ratha Yatra, Prabhupada started by saying, "My dear unfortunate youth of America." So with that complete compassion that he always felt for all of the people who he addressed. In that class in New York, in that lecture in New York, and I'm talking about right in the beginning, he already had a few followers, but those followers still didn't know much, understand much, and he told them, please help me to spread this movement. I mean, they didn't know anything about anything. But the first thing that he asked them was, please help me. Please help me spread this movement. Make it known to others. And he constantly gave us this teaching, gave us this message, tried to help us to understand how, beyond these rules and regulations, which are important for our life, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, but beyond that, we have to take responsibility also for other people as soon as possible. We don't have to wait to be a sannyasi to take responsibility for everybody. We have to take it much sooner than we would like, much sooner than we would expect. As soon as there is someone who doesn't know what we know, as soon as someone still didn't get what we received, we have a responsibility. And we have to as we practice Krishna consciousness, work on our heart to make it sure that it's becoming bigger so that we can fit those people who still don't know that message. And okay, we can do it in so many ways, but it's more an attitude, no? It's an attitude to that sooner or later we have to face and say, yes, I have a responsibility for other people. And it's the least I can do for what I have received also. But that what does it mean? It means that some people may go out and look for people who have no idea of what Krishna is or what Krishna consciousness is or what devotional service is, and will go out there and try to share it with others. But it also means, because it's an attitude, it's not how much, it's not Hanuman with a rock or the spider with a grain of sand, it's the attitude. So it also means that whenever there's someone out there in the yard and we're running from here there to there because we have a service, and I know what I'm talking about because I've also been in that situation, and I have to stop and make sure that this person doesn't go through until who knows when, next lifetime maybe or whenever, no? And he gets something. We have to take that responsibility for those people. I know that Radha Desh is much more organized in all aspects than many other temples in the world, and I'm sure that it's much more organized than, for instance, when Yadu and myself, well, Yadu Nandana Maharaj now, and myself were many years ago managing the farm in Spain. But still, there are some situations in which you may find that someone is hanging around and no one is taking care of him or her, isn't it? And then there is a responsibility. This is what Prabhupada was asking in that lecture. Please help me to reach that person. And or it may mean many, many things. It means that if you've got a job, then to some people you speak about Krishna in a way that is conducive to the situation, so to make sure that you're not fired out of the job or anything like this, but that you somehow or other share with neighbors, with people you meet. You know, it's an attitude of taking responsibility for others, as I say. And also it means that there's always around us in the temple, there's always people who are younger in devotional service than we may be. That happens very soon. That may happen after a few months you've been here, you already know better. It doesn't mean that we now have to start heavily preaching to each other, but I'm talking about sharing the gift we received. And it may mean, you know, that a housewife, a lady who has responsibilities at home, which are so many, can also do some, take responsibility for some of the younger devotees, or even there's many, many situations. I know that some of you live here. I know that some of you are here for some time, And maybe some of you don't even live here and live in different situations. But there's, with this attitude, we will find ways in which we can help Srila Prabhupada in his mission, and we can share what he gave us with others. And for instance, I can give the example of my wife, for instance. We live very far away from a temple for family reasons. We had to move there to take care of her parents. She's the only child, so we had to move there many years ago, and it's a small village, so it had its limits as far as sharing, you know. So it comes to a point that people, you know, with who you can speak or not, you know. But for instance, then we were talking about this, and she said she started taking a certain responsibility, to speak in those terms, for some of the younger devotees that we know, that we have a nice relationship with, and she regularly calls, you know. And sometimes it's just a matter of listening and see how are you doing, and making sure that they know that you are there for them, and with all the realizations that you have received, you're able to sometimes help them to make their path easier, you know, to a spiritual life. So as I say, it's a matter of taking this responsibility, because as and there is one, oh my God, there is one aspect of it which is very important. This is not just a nice exercise. It's not just a show of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. It's all these things. It's not only very purifying and very maturing for a spiritual life. It's also a must in spiritual life. It's not an option. I mean, sharing knowledge of and sharing the spiritual life with others is a must to continue being alive in spiritual life. We cannot we cannot live in spiritual life without sharing it with others. It just doesn't work. It's like water becomes stagnant when we try to hold it. Sometimes in spiritual life, we prefer to see it as you know, okay, I'm working on myself, my own bhajan, which is important, but that's it, you know, this is it. And Krishna, the spiritual master, those who guide you, will put you in situations in which you have to respond and take responsibility for others, you like it or not. It's like this. And you have to take it. It's the only way by which we can go ahead in our spiritual life. And that's why Prabhupada was giving it. He was not just giving it because he needed help. He was giving it because that's what spiritual life is. Spiritual life means preaching to others, or sharing spiritual life with others. It's the only way to be alive in spiritual life. Excuse me, you know that English is not my mother language. I work in another part of the world where we speak Spanish and Portuguese. I'm learning Portuguese now. And it's very rare that I give a lecture in English, so I have to, sometimes it's difficult for me to express my thoughts. But anyway, in summary, what I would say is that the training, as Prahlad Maharaj says, the training has to start from the beginning. We have to be very nicely trained as brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, to then be very go ahead, not down, but go ahead and be successful in our married life, increase our sense of responsibility for others so that we can move ahead and ahead towards vanaprastha and sannyas life. And but all along, during all this path, if we want to be healthy in our spiritual life, we have to take responsibility for others, and we have to take steps and grab opportunities that Krishna will give us to share Krishna consciousness with others, and make sure that we move in this life as much as possible from an intense Duratma stage to the Mahatma stage, which is the necessary stage to enter the spiritual world. We won't. That's why it's impossible to grow in spiritual life without making your heart bigger. It just doesn't work, because we're being led towards the world of Mahatmas, and you cannot enter there with an Aduratma attitude. You know? So we have to, as soon as possible, start practicing this, taking responsibility for the others, sharing whatever little bit we may have, whatever, as much as we may feel unqualified, we have to share it with others, so that we practice this, making our heart bigger. You know? And since I've been told that I should have finished before now, and I was told that sometimes guests have 2-3 minutes more, but we went beyond even that. Now, there's one hand there. And Manohar will kill me, as usual. And he told me, because he knows me. And he said yes. Short, then I'll answer short. I'm curious, for instance, why the setup of this class? Why that far away? In numbers, maybe. Anyway, I tend to try not to rock boats when I go around the world, unless I have some responsibility. But yes, I'm also curious, and I could speculate many things, as I'm sure you also could or do. What I can say is that the future is brighter. And we know that because the past was darker. But this is a lot of work to do still. We need male devotees who don't need to put anybody down to feel happy in their ashram. And we need to make sure that everybody understands that respect for others, especially for Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, is a crucial element in spiritual life, and lack of respect is a crucial element in the destruction of spiritual life. So there is, I promise to make it short. So, but yes, you're right. You know that more and more people are aware of that. More and more people have been working on that and are working on that. And as much as the devotees and ladies and gentlemen can show a proper balance, a proper way of relating to each other, will only be able to have an impact in society also. So it's a very important aspect that still needs a lot of work in our society. And I tell you, in certain parts of the world, is still frightening. I mean, we've done a lot of work thanks to many ladies and some men to fix this situation. But I think that one key is what I said. I mean, we have to train brahmacharis. We were talking about training of brahmacharis. We have to train brahmacharis to be happy in their ashram without having to put anybody down, because that's not the then yes, no, it's not. If you need to put somebody down, you've got a problem that you have to try to solve in another way, and it's not proper. So I don't know, that's all I can say. But as I say, the inner reason, I can only speculate. I've been held by many of you, and I'm somewhat, thanks to all of you, cured of this deep-rooted disease that men have in this world in general. And I'm still working on that, but I don't know exactly what. But I know that this need for, you know, pushing other people down so that I can save myself is there. But at least in Europe, you don't hear, I hope, you don't hear anymore those brahmachari classes. I never took part because we joined married, but I heard from the corridor, and they were terrifying. No, literally. And I say with sadness, you know, it was terrifying. It's not, you don't need, you know, it's not necessary. What is necessary is that we leave immediately. Yes? So we have to work together. And we're working together on that, isn't it? So to improve that. We have taken many words of Prabhupada completely out of context. We have tuned it with our own anarthas, and in some situations have created hell for too many people. And that's not what Prabhupada intended. So we have to purify that also. That's one of the roles of elders. That's what we have to share with others so that they don't make the same mistakes we made. And it's our responsibility towards them to make sure that they don't go through that path, because it's not auspicious. I don't think so. I don't think you can speak more. Jai. What?
It's just a short comment. I was just thinking
because there's two.
In the kind of work that I do, it's very important for me to be able to put myself in the position of the other person, because it helps me to understand, it helps me to work. But, or to help them. But, so I was just wondering if.
How can you help?
If we put the shoe on the other foot, like if it was mainly ladies giving classes, and the ladies were always saying how brilliant the ladies are and how bad the men are, then how would the men feel about them? And it's not, I'm not saying that the men are bad and the women are good, that's not good, because that's also, if it goes, because there's also feminism, which is the other evil,
Obviously, one of the main reasons is that we carry what we've got from our life. I mean, we live in a society which is like this. It's the man over the woman. That's how we were all trained. I'm not talking about this society. I'm talking about the world. That's how the world is. So, and then we come and start reading. And we only read certain things. Or, because to tell you the truth, I mean, if let's say something that Prabhupada said. Let's say that somehow or other, when Prabhupada speaks directly or indirectly, he expresses the idea that in the relationship, the man takes a superior position, isn't it? Okay, what does it mean? And that's where the problem starts. What does it mean? Wherever I am, you have to be down. This is not what he's saying. You have to come up, man, to inspire the lady to follow you. That's what he's saying, but no, we prefer to read. I may be, you know, a devotee or whatever, and you have to follow me, because that's what Prabhupada says. This is not what Prabhupada's saying. And then we can say, oh, Prabhupada's saying so many things to the ladies. I don't think so. He's saying things to the men. Hey, you should raise. I mean, you're a mess. You better raise up to the level, you know, when things will be natural. I mean, I wouldn't. I've been convinced by ladies that they are more than happy to follow someone who is worthy to be followed. So that's what Prabhupada is telling us. It's not telling follow anybody. It's telling become somebody and then everything will be in place. The responsibility is in the superior, never in the inferior, if there is such thing. But we prefer to take it the other way. Hey, come here, you do whatever I tell you. Where did you get it from? From your past, from your own shape. This is not what Prabhupada said. This is not what Prabhupada intended. And he showed it many times. But we prefer to say it this way. For example, there's many, many, many things like this. And that's how we read. Okay? We read the scriptures and come to conclusions which don't fit with other things, but that doesn't matter. It fits me. It fits my own plan. So that's what in VTE we call, what was it? Lack of scriptural integrity. And Jayabhadra wanted to say something. You told me not to reach 9. At least we will not go beyond 9. Yeah, it's an interesting concept. It's like this in another VTE course, in the leadership and management course, which I have come here to teach many times. There is this aspect of, how would be in English, servant leadership. Servant leadership. And which is not something that we crafted, is something that it's out in the world, but which is very, it suits our philosophy a lot, no? Because who's the best guru, the best disciple, no? So to say, or who can be guru, the best disciple, no? You have to be a servant, but also you have to have this attitude of service to others. So that's there. But I think that there's also the other way around it. So we said servant leadership, but this also leader servitorship. So our service is leading others. So it's both. We have to take this, and as you were saying, yes, this is our opportunity for advancement. It's not that we already advanced and now we start serving others. No, it's our path. It's the path, taking responsibility for others and helping them and sharing with them what we received. It's not an act of. It may come also as an act of compassion, but it's not just that, you know, it's part of the growth. And in this sense, then there is no limit, and we know that there's no limit to spiritual life. There's always, you know, more and more that secret that Krishna talks about is, how you say in English, unfathomable or something like this. It never ends. It's always growing as much as the heart grows and grows for in responsibility with others. Okay, thank you, Manohar Prabhu, for allowing me to be here a little longer. I haven't been here for so long that I also needed this. This is why I came here. To receive. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.